Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The motorsports world is where legends are made, the unthinkable happens, and barriers are broken. One man harnesses the power of an industry every week. This is the General Tire Down and Dirty Show, powered by Polaris Razor, with Jim Beaver.
Back in the saddle here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Big show today. Lots to talk about. Lots of news. We also have the Olympics going on. I mean, this is there is all kinds of stuff to talk about. Got a couple of amazing guests. We got Chris Leone. He is on site at the New England Forest Rally. I don't know if you heard the news, but he is back. The legend returns. David Higgins is racing the New England Forest Rally. Dropped that news a couple days ago, as you guys may or may not know. I am also David's agent and manager. So, yes, David will probably be a guest on the show here upcoming very, very soon. But he is on the stage of the New England Forest Rally, battling with Pastrana, Block, and all the usual suspects. And it's going to be really exciting to watch out. We got Chris Leone calling in live from the New England Forest Rally here in hour number two. We've also got guest Andrew Carlson, Red Bull athlete, short course star, been just absolutely killing it on the championship off-road schedule, and he is going to be one of our guests today, as well as a very good friend of mine, automotive influencer. She goes by 4x4 Barbie on social media, but my good friend Pleasant Cook. Pleasant will be on the show as well. That girl, she is, you know, she's been a friend of the show for a very, very long time. It's been great to see her career kind of skyrocket the last few years, and a huge social media following. Always fun to catch up with Pleasant. So lots to talk about. In addition, like I said before, we've got the Olympics. We got Formula One drama. We got news out of the off-road world. We got the biggest single-day off-road race in the United States coming up here in 2 weeks. I will be racing that, and that is the Best in the Desert Vegas Torino. And in addition to that, next week I am doing a show live on site from the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally in Sturgis, South Dakota. So I am going to be journeying across the country to South Dakota with Fistful of Bourbon. My good friend Anthony Bollinger, you know him as a guest on the show. Yes, Fistful of Terry, he's going to be co-hosting with me. We're going to have Tim Montana and a bunch of different guests lined up, and I am really looking forward to that. Going to be one hell of a fun show, and yeah, can't wait to get to Sturgis first time, and yeah, I'm going with a whiskey company. What could be better than that? So yes, big show today, lots to talk about, lots of news. Hit me up at JimBeaver15 on social media if you got any questions for guests or me that you want answered. And with that, we are going to take a short commercial break. When we come back, we're getting right into things right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire designed with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing. So why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Getting things kicked off today. We got a big, big show. We got Andrew Carlson. We got Pleasant Cook. We got Chris Leone calling in live from the England Forest Rally. We got David Higgins making his return to stage rally after a year and a half absence. We got Championship Off-Road happening at Dirt City this weekend as well. Man, big stuff. In addition, we got the Olympics going on. So, we have a ton to dissect, a ton to jump into. I am getting ready to do Vegas to Reno in 2 weeks. Before that, though, next week I'm going out to the Sturgis Rally there in South Dakota. So if you guys are heading out to Sturgis, if you're a motorcycle fan, I know there's an Ultra 4 event there as well. If you guys are going to be in the Sturgis area, hit me up. I will be there next Thursday through Monday. We're going to be doing a live radio show on site with my partners and friends at Fistful of Bourbon. So if you want some whiskey, you want to have a good time, definitely hit me up. And, I would love to meet up with some fans of the show, listeners, but I will be on site at Sturgis and definitely looking forward to that. Going to be some epic good stuff happening. First time ever for me going to Sturgis, so I really don't have any idea what I'm in for, but I know it's going to be a hell of a lot of fun. So, Sturgis coming up for me, but that leads us to this weekend. Before we get to that, I want to talk a little bit about David Higgins making his return to U.S. Stage Rally, and this is big. This is really big. Obviously David, one of these iconic North American rally drivers, one of the winningest guys of all time in North America, off-road Hall of Famer. And, it's been really, really cool to see the fan feedback online with him returning to stage rally this weekend. I know with Chris, we're definitely going to jump into that even deeper. But it's got me really, really excited. Do I think he's got a good shot to win? Oh, absolutely. But I think there's five guys that have a really good shot to win. But I think with David making this return, it really, really puts a light back on stage rally in the United States, especially with some of the European fans. I think with David being from the UK, and him not competing last year, I think it really, some of the people kind of quit paying attention. And now I think with him being back, boom, there you go. Spotlight back on. So really excited to see the way things shape out there at the New England Forest Rally. I think this is it's a big one. Pastrana, Block, Higgins, Semenuk, and then Barry McKenna, kind of your top five drivers that are going to go out there and really have a shot at a win. And, man, this is going to be one that's really going to be exciting to pay attention to at Dirtfish's website over the course of the weekend and see how it plays out. That's happening. And then, obviously, some big news, coming out a week or two back, but Ken Block doing the Baja 1000, teaming up with 15-year-old Phenom Jax Redline, as well as Baja champ from 2 years ago, Alan Ampudia. So, man, between Ampudia, Block, Redline, you want to talk about a triple header of drivers that that are all very, very competent. It's going to be interesting how this team it does and attacks things. But I'm looking forward to seeing the way this plays out. Block, obviously, he's a stage rally veteran. Never really done much desert racing, but he can drive just about anything. And I think him doing Vegas Torino is going to be a nice tune up here in a couple of weeks, and we'll really get a glimpse at how things look for Baja come later in the year. So that's some big news coming out of the world of off-road. One of the big things, and I know the opening segment, you never quite know where I'm gonna go with it, but the U.S. Olympics, the Olympics is going on, and for the first time ever they brought in some action sports. You got surfing, BMX, skateboarding. Kind of cool to see that. And I know there's been a lot of memes going around. It's been some people, talk skateboarding and really kind of been brutal on the U.S. skateboarding team, and I know they're saying, oh, well, we didn't bring our A team and this and that. And, why'd we get beat? Why was there so many falls in the Olympics and things like that, gymnastics, they don't fall as much. And, it's a judge discipline. Why is skateboarding, why is there, guys falling, things like that. And I guess, part of me goes, we did bring our A team. I mean, you got Nyjah Houston, which I'm not going to put street skating competition and street skating, in general in the same category. But Nyjah, globally recognized, unarguably is probably the greatest competition street skater currently in the world. He was there representing the United States, and obviously we had Jagger Eaton who ended up taking a third, but everybody's going, well, why, this and why that? And, and we fell too much and skaters fall too much. And why isn't that, like gymnastics where they nail everything? And, I'm looking at it and going, they are very similar, right? Individual sports where you're judged, on your performance and the, basically the difficulty of your routine or the difficulty of your tricks determines how and how well you execute them determines how well you do scoring wise. Right. Well, I think the big thing that you've got to take into consideration here is there are a lot of similarities in gymnastics and skateboarding. The biggest difference in my eyes is that if you compete on balance beam, you compete on floor, compete on vault, compete on bars, whatever you compete on, it's the same. You can go to a set of uneven bars in Japan, you can go to a set of uneven bars in New York City, you can go to a set of uneven bars in Toronto, Canada, Mexico City, Europe, right here in Parker, Arizona. And you know what? It's going to be the same. Same with the balance beam. Same with vault. All the dimensions, everything's the same. So what you're looking at can be replicated anywhere in the world. Thing with skateboarding and BMX, for that matter, and actually surfing, depending on the waves, it's not. A skate park that Jagger Eaton, rides in Phoenix, Arizona versus a skate park at the Olympic is different. So if he can kickflip something in Phoenix, it doesn't necessarily mean he can kickflip something in Japan because the gaps are different. The transitions are different. The size is different. The layout of the skate park, the flow of the skate park. There's so many things that go into it. And I'm not making excuses for Team USA and Nyjah Houston. Nyjah just had a bad day. He can adapt. He can overcome. I mean, he's one of the best skaters in the world. I mean, the guy literally, is a machine. He's a robot. You caught him on a bad day. And, I think he was a gold medal favorite going into things, hands down. And, he laid an egg, quite frankly. And I'm a big Nyjah fan. And, I guarantee you 4 years from now, if skateboarding's brought back, Nyjah's probably going to win the gold because he's going to have a chip on his shoulder. But I'm just saying that the difference is something that you compete on in gymnastics and something you compete on in skateboarding, completely different. You can have a 12-foot vert ramp that, and it's going to be different from city to city. Just transition's going to be a little different. Coping, lip, dimensions. It's not like gymnastics where everything is a set standard. And I think, the minute we do that in skateboarding, it's actually going to be horrible. Nobody wants that. You know, it's going to get rid of the creativity of the sport. But I think that's why you saw more falls than you thought you would have. You know, these are the best skaters in the world. And, yeah, they still do fall at times because things are so different anywhere you go. So, yeah, just thought I'd chime in a little bit on that because I've seen a lot of it on social media recently. And thought I'd, you know, defend skateboarders in general a little bit because, yeah, I do skate. Those of you following me on social know that. But, yeah, we're going to take a short break. We come back. Yeah, we're still firing here, right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. I'd like to welcome my Polaris Razor and Vision Wheel teammate Andrew Carlson to the line. Andrew, man, home track, big weekend for you guys. You got to be pretty stoked here, sitting here on a Monday.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was a good weekend. We came away with 3 out of 4 podiums. The Razor was ripping. Yeah, it was the first time I've ever swept a weekend in all my racing, so that was pretty cool to do. Especially in front of the home track in the Razor. So, yeah, it was an awesome weekend, and we're definitely feeling good on a Monday for sure.
Yeah, you know, and that's the funny thing. Sweeping a weekend, I don't think people realize how hard it is. And to do it in Pro Mod, which you did, like, to me, that's arguably one of the toughest divisions in off-road. I mean, I'm not saying it's the fastest division, but it's got to be one of the toughest. I mean, I'm just looking down the list of, you know, you, Van Epperen, you know, we got Robert in there. I mean, there's just, you know, you got Elliot Burns. I mean, I can go down the list of drivers and racers, and I'm like, dude, this is no easy feat to be sweeping a weekend in Pro Mod, man.
Yeah, you know, it's fun. I think there's been, coming into the weekend, there was 4 different guys that had a win. Kyle Cheney had one, I had one, and then both of the Van Epperen boys had one. So points were tight. Luckily, Cheney had a few breakdowns, so he was a little bit back. But, you know, it wasn't to the point where someone had kind of established dominance. We came out the first weekend and went 1-2. Left with the points lead, and then the Yamahas were fast at Crandon and won both days. So, you know, coming into here, I knew that I kind of had to switch the momentum up if I was gonna get this lead and, you know, just establish the dominance that I feel like we have in the car. The thing's just on rails. We've been working really hard on it, just been really fine-tuning it this year. Last year, we were just trying to get it finishing races and then being up front. And now that we put that work in, I feel like, it's showing. So we got our setup really dialed. The tires are working really great. We got, you know, just the little stuff, a little clutching and making small suspension adjustments here and there. And when you can start focusing on that little stuff because your whole program's that far along, it really helps. And then, you know, just as a driver, it gives me a lot of confidence. I know I can go in that thing and drive it 100% as fast as I can go. So it was cool. It was a good weekend for sure.
Yeah, and I, you know, obviously we saw some speed out of it last year, but I feel like this has been almost like a 2-year project with this thing in Pro Mod because, like you said, last year, you know, we knew it was quick, but this year I feel like you put it all together. And I don't think a lot of people realize that. Sometimes in short course with the new builds and new platforms, whether it be Pro 4 or UTV, like I feel like sometimes you almost need a year of development work to get something up to speed. And I feel like you guys have found the secret sauce this year, man.
Yeah, for sure. And last year we were by ourselves, right? There was really no other Pro Mod, especially that new brand new Pro XP last year. we were the first ones to go short course racing with it. You know, Ronnie and a lot of the guys on the West Coast that were still racing, they were sticking with the Turbo S, and even the desert guys. Like, none of them had switched to it yet. So I knew that that chassis had a lot to promise, and it was super, super solid car. And now you see, like, Guthrie and a lot of these guys going to it this year. But we really broke the mold on it and had it right fresh. And, you know, that comes with its challenges. You know, it's always exciting to get a new chassis, but you got to keep your fingers crossed and hope you don't stumble upon something that you didn't know, or, you know, certain parts that weren't the same from one to the other. So not only had we not raced Pro Mod ever before, but no one had raced that chassis. So I feel like it definitely paid off this year. And then my buddy Robert saw the dominance we had. He helped me a little bit last year, and but he was busy with his own program in the RS1. And then this off season, you know, I dabble a lot in CAD and 3D modeling and stuff. And I had some really good ideas that I wanted to try. But I also firmly believe in, if it's not broke, don't fix it. And I didn't want to bite off more than I could chew this year. So I had plans to build a new car. We started testing in this other with our current car that we've been running. And it's just, we're getting it even faster and faster. So I didn't want to bite off more than I can chew. And Robert actually made the switch to go to Pro Mod. So I helped him build the car. I basically did the whole thing in CAD and handed the file over to him, knowing that, you know, I said, hey, let's keep this between us. But at the same time, I want to learn whatever is going to, well, what we're going to gain here. So I actually got a car on the fixture table right now. We're making some tweaks to it. So that's the exciting thing for me, is like, I feel like we're in a heavier car right now and more stock, and there's even more to gain. So to come off a weekend sweeping it, feeling like we got the speed to win, and then to know that there's more available too, is it's exciting. And these cars are so fast, and but it's such a balance of finishing and then not pushing too far, and it has to be durable. And I think each one, every time someone goes out and wins, the other guys try to push their cars further, and eventually you get to a point where you got to be finishing to be up front. So
yeah, well, and I know in your case, you're not only running Pro Mod with Polaris, but you're running the Pro 4. How is that on any given day, man? You're bouncing back and forth between the two vehicles. Obviously, both of them all-wheel drive. I'm sure that makes things a little bit easier. But any adjustments when you're jumping back and forth between the two vehicles that you have to, like, consciously flip a switch to do it?
Being completely honest, no. There's not a big difference, and that's the cool thing. You know, that was a big reason we parked the Pro 2 last year, because it is such a big difference between the Pro 2 and the Pro 4. It's a different driving style. The way you enter the corners, just the way you attack the track, you have to be aggressive in both, but in very different ways. You know, in the Pro 4 is a newer thing to me. This is only my fourth season in the class. And yeah, some would say that's a long time, but those trucks, when you look at Kyle and Greaves and a lot of these guys that, they've been driving that style for a long time, and they're still progressing and still getting faster. And it's no small undertaking. No one just, I mean, you see it with Cal Chaney and Scotty Lawrence and a couple of these other guys that jumped in last year for the first time. They're not hitting the box even, because it's so hard to just get up to speed in these trucks, because they're, it'd be one thing if there was like a semi-pro class, but you're racing the best in the world. I mean, Johnny and Kyle and all these guys individually have more championships than I've even years raced off road. So it's a tall order to be out there, but we got an awesome team behind us, all the sponsors that are helping us get out there. We've really pushed our program, and that's, you know, I think we show it when everything we do, whether it's ERX or the race team, we don't want to bring a knife to a gunfight. So obviously it takes a lot of time and a lot of hard work, but we're progressing. I feel like we're getting faster in the Pro 4. And one big piece of it is having everything in my program pushing me faster in that car. And we just felt that Pro 2, it wasn't. I was either getting faster in one or the other. And, you know, and we made the switch to Pro Mod last year, and we did better in both vehicles, you know, than we expected in the Pro Mod, especially because we hadn't raced in it. But the Pro 4, we got a lot faster throughout the year, and we were pushing for wins at the end. We had some tough breaks where we were leading and we should have got a win, and we didn't. But I feel like we're much more of a threat, and yeah, ultimately just getting faster.
Yeah, well, that being said, I know this was a big weekend for you, not only, you know, sweeping the weekend in Pro Mod, but this is your home track. I mean, ERX, I mean, your family stakeholder in the, you know, in the facility there. You know, I've seen the, I've been going to ERX for 5-6 years now, back before, you know, short course races were even had there. And I've seen the growth of it and the beautiful facility you guys have there. But how is that to be able to race, you know, basically in your backyard? I mean, there's a lot of people that have a hometown track, but not many people actually share their race shop on the same property as a track. I mean, how is that to have all these crowds, all these fans come in and you know, and be racing in front of, you know, pretty much everybody that you know?
It's awesome. You know, it makes the podiums a little more emotional, and because so much hard work goes into it. But at the same time, when I don't do well, I feel like it's a lot of pressure, and it's kind of like, oh, we've asked ourselves in years past when we've come our way with no podiums or no wins, we're like, man, what are we doing this for? Like, not that we're quitting, it's just like challenging ourselves, like, hey, if we got to do this, we want to come out and show that we're, you know, we're dominating and we're doing well. So obviously having a weekend like we did, it was really good. We had some trouble in the Pro 4 and didn't end up getting a win like we really wanted, but hit the box third and then had a mechanical on the second day. But it's fun. It honestly, you get in your routine, and we're mid-season now, so you kind of get your, okay, like, we're going to go to the Riders meeting in the morning, and we're going to kind of check over the trucks, make everything's good, you know, start watching the track midday, you know, trucks are done around 3 o'clock, and then we're ready to go racing by 5 or 6. At ERX, it's like, get pulled 17 million different directions, and then my biggest concern is like setting our alarms on my watch so I don't miss my race, because we got so much going on, and not only am I trying to watch the track and see where the fast lines are developing, but at the same time, like, give input, like, hey, we need to knock this down. This is going to start wrecking trucks, or someone's going to get hurt here, or, you know, or just what we're always trying to make the racing better. And that's why we have the split lanes and a lot of this stuff. And a lot of it takes effort to make sure that the track is even, because it's real easy to just let the thing go and get one lined. And then you don't have great racing. I think everything I've heard from the weekend, everyone's saying like, that was the race of the year already in Pro 4, you know, the most passing we've had and just awesome racing. And there's a lot of effort that goes into that. It's not, you know, I don't want to brag, but I'm not saying we didn't just stumble into that. You know, we're very, you know, we're planning how we're building this track and even the sequence of turns and how we're setting up the dirt for the split lanes to get them to hold up and certain stuff. So it definitely makes the weekend super busy. It's definitely, if we're just focusing on going out and put the just winning the Pro 4, it'd be a lot easier to not have a race. But obviously we love off-road and we want to get back and we want to do it the best we can and show people that, you know, this is a cool track to come race at. And I think everyone loves coming here. So that we obviously get a lot of warm fuzzies just from having people come here and race on our track and enjoy it like we do. That's why we're all here in the first place, because it's fun and we like doing it and like doing it around people that have similar interests. So it's definitely, I think it's not as easy as it probably looks, just racing at the home track, right? And I've even told people, like, how different that track is when you have hundreds of cars on it all day. You know, there was 56 classes that raced on it. I don't care how many practice laps I get, I'm never going to get it that rough or that packed or that blue group. So it's a huge adjustment for me too. Like, I'm used to this track a certain way, and then all of a sudden all these people show up and now there's big holes everywhere and slippery, and it changes our setup. So it kind of almost sets us into like a, hey, don't even plan on being like it is for testing. So yeah. But it's good. I love it. I wouldn't change it or have it any other way.
All right, we are, we're going to pump the brakes here for a second. We're going to put a pause on this epic interview with my good friend and Polaris Razor teammate Andrew Carlson, because we have to, we got to jump to a commercial break, but I promise when we return, we will have more with Andrew Carlson. And don't forget, still coming up, hour number two, we got Pleasant Cook. We also have Chris Leone calling in on site from the New England Forest Rally. So all of that to come still right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty radio show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it. So when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go, so let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver, I've been here on hold with my good friend Andrew Carlson. You know him from the championship off-road circuit, Red Bull athlete, former snowcross racer. We are knee-deep in this interview. And, you know, before we went to break, Andrew, we were talking some setups.
Yeah, I'm probably the one guy that can actually – I understand what you're saying, because we have, you know, the couple desert races a year here in Parker, and it's my backyard. So we test. It's where I grew up in. I've been running these trails for, you know, 25 years since I was a kid. And, you know, and it's like I know every rock, every stick, every tree, every bush. So, you know, I've got 15 laps around the race course, you know, around the 100-mile race course before the race ever set. So everybody expects me to do well, but it's like all of a sudden you drop 70 other UTVs in my class there, and you've got dust and you got rocks and holes and chatter bumps. And I'm like you said, like, yeah, you feel like the extra pressure because you're at home and everybody expects you to do well because you're hometown track. But then it's like they don't realize, like, it's a completely different track on race day than everything you've been out, you know, testing and playing on, you know?
Yeah. You know, and it's funny, and I'm not the type where I'm going to argue with guys about it or whatever. I just kind of smile and say, yeah, like, yeah, it's awesome to be at our home track. But, yeah, it definitely throws another element. And I think the biggest thing is just I like to get in the swing of my program, right? Like, I'm comfortable with how I do things and the way I've done them. And when I come here, it's different because I got all these buddies here and all this family, and I'm getting pulled into, you know, it'd be like if you're racing at the Mint and all of a sudden they wanted to have you come help you fix the track. You're like, man, I don't really have anything to do with that. But at the home track, it's like I feel responsible that I have to pitch in and help out, and not that I don't want to, but it's just like,
yeah, your race day routine is
a lot going on for sure.
Yeah. So you're sitting, you know, at the top of the Pro Mod point standings right now. I believe you're third in Pro 4. We're at the halfway point of the season. I mean, you know, what's it going to take for you to, you know, keep on top in Pro Mod and start, you know, chipping away there at Kyle LeDuc and CJ there at the top of the Pro 4 standings?
Yeah, I mean, both classes are tough. I think there's if anyone said, gave you a clear answer to that question and laid it out perfectly how they're going to win, they'd probably be lying. But, you know, it's tough. I think the biggest thing is just keep our confidence high and stick with what we know. And the big thing in UTV is if it's not broke, don't fix it. And then I don't put anything on that car that I don't test. So that's how I feel like we can keep this the car so reliable and we're not having issues with it and stuff. And so obviously keep that, but at the same time, we're going to be testing still and getting faster. And I, you know, we're going to take the car out tomorrow. I'm a big fan of putting the work in and during the week and then coming the weekend, we know what we got. So in the UTV, I think it's just being consistent. We need to be finishing every race, and we've only missed a podium once, and I'm planning on that being my worst finish of the year. It was the fifth. So, you know, the Yamahas are fast when we get on the big tracks just because they're sequentials. They don't have the belt drive. So it's tough coming there. But at the same time, we won the World Cup there last year. So it's kind of, I don't know. I don't even know. I think I need to go in each weekend individually, you know, assess it and see how we're feeling and just push the car to where I know I can go and be fast. And the biggest thing is I feel like I don't really get outdrove in the UTV. I feel like I'm putting that thing clicking off as fast as lap as anybody. And if I'm not, I feel like I have mechanical issues or something like that. So I'm not super, I don't lose a ton of sleep about getting in that thing and driving it fast. But the Pro 4, on the other hand, is a handful, right? It's the reason it's the top class. If anybody could just hop in there and hold their wick and get on top of the box, they would. You know, I think that thing is in the same right, you got to be finishing too. And I think that is, and what ended up hurting us this weekend a lot. Like I've broke a lot here just because I can be aggressive on the first lap just because I'm comfortable and all that at my home track, and it's bitten me before. So the first day we qualified first and we drew an eight. So we had to start in the back, and I knew I wasn't going to get the first on, you know, the first couple laps. So I kind of just had to let the race come to me, and we ended up getting the third, but it took a little longer. So, you know, long story short, I think just being consistent and finding that perfect balance of pushing, but not breaking is going to be key winning the Pro 4 championship. So, you know, I'm not going to be looking at points as much in the Pro 4 just because I know if I go out and win, the points will come. And I can't control who else is finishing and how they're finishing. But I know that we're capable of winning in that car, and we just need to go do it. So coming to Lena, I really like the tight technical tracks. I think it's somewhat similar to ERX. It's definitely tight into the Pro 4, though. I know, like, last year, over half the field crashed there and flipped and rolled the thing. Even guys like Kyle are crashing. So a big thing is going to be there keeping it on all four. And, I think in both cars, it's that way. We know we're fast, but we got to be consistently fast and then keep the cars running.
Yeah. So one last question before we let you go. Obviously, you know, you've got a heck of a snowmobile career before you made the full-time transition into the off-road stuff. You miss being on the sled at all come wintertime? I know, you know, obviously you guys have hosted all kinds of events there at ERX, things like that. You ever get the itch to do a little snowmobile racing at all?
Yeah, we had two of the big national races here, which is what I used to do, and I had a lot of fun watching them, and I had a lot of people ask me that, and I did not want to be out there one bit. It made my knees hurt just watching. So, on the snowcross side, racing pro open, the big dog stuff, I kind of had my time there. It's fun, but it also is a big commitment, and it's a big sacrifice on your body. You got to be willing to get hurt, and, getting in these trucks now, I can have more of a rush just cause I didn't grow up doing it, and it's newer to me, and I can get that fix of adrenaline and all that in it. And, you know, I don't limp up the stairs afterwards either. So it's a nice mix that way, but, it doesn't mean I don't ride. I've actually gotten into racing these older sleds. We had a couple of big events at ERX last winter. One of them was the first event I've ever put on solely. It was Pittsbanger National. It was like 2000 and older sleds, and it was like 40 below, and we still had like 200 entries. And yeah, it's just fun. It's more fun in the winter when I do Snowmobile. It's all about fun. So, you know, just not big intimidating races and just having fun on snowmobiles. Cause like you said, I grew up doing it, and it's something that I get a lot of joy from doing. And, you know, I still have some ability to ride there. And, but yeah, we're going out west and trail riding and just doing it around my family. My son, loves snowmobiling. He's only two last winter, but he was out ripping a lot, and it's fun for me to watch, you know, kind of him in that role. And you know, I'm gonna encourage him to be on four wheels in a cage if he can. But I have a feeling he'll probably want to race sled. So we'll probably still be going to the tracks and a lot of that. And obviously, we still have a huge love for it, and still have races at ERX, whether I'm racing or not. But yeah, it's fun. I think, you know, I still pay homage to it, right? That's a lot of the reason why I'm in off-road, because I had a Polaris factory ride and sled, and I got hurt, and I started racing razors, and here we are. So I still enjoy it. And yeah, it's an awesome way to have fun in the winters up here, and it's cool.
Yeah. You tried out any of the timber sleds? You jumped on any of the snow bikes?
I did. I actually got one. I didn't get out last winter just because we had a newborn and just busyness with life, obviously. But I got one the year before, and I was obsessed with it all winter. I was riding it. They're a lot of fun out in the mountains. Not as much fun around here, just because we don't get the snowpack. But they're amazing. They're super fun, and yeah, I'm looking forward to getting on them again this winter.
Yeah. Oh, I know they have every year. They always have the X Games qualifiers there at ERX. You're going to get one of those itches where it's like, oh, we're just going to go throw the bike on the track, see if we can qualify into X.
No, I definitely won't be doing that. No, just because I know I've been there. I've done that. And I know that just the way I roll, and we kind of talked about this earlier, but like the way we do things, if I'm going to do it, I want to do it 100%. And yeah. I don't want to bring a knife to a gunfight. And I know if I go try to do that, it's going to suck up a ton of time, and I'm going to be super committed to doing it. You know, just at this stage, I'm focused on being a great dad and husband, and then winning Pro 4 and UTV races. That's what I want to do, and that's what's on my mind. And, you know, I'm going to stay focused on those.
Awesome. Well, Andrew, always fun catching up, my friend. Congratulations on, you know, on the big victories this weekend there at ERX. And, you know, good luck the rest of the season.
Thanks, Jim. Appreciate you having me on. Thank you.
And always fun catching up with Andrew Carlson. Been a while since he's been on the show. But, you know, I always, you know, I'm probably going to get into this with Pleasant Cook, but I've always been enamored with the athletes and people in this industry, the motorsports industry, automotive industry, that can continue to reinvent themselves. I feel like, you know, it's one of those things where you always have to keep on evolving. You know, obviously he was a snowcross racer, and at some point you tap out on that, you know, and you've got a lot more longevity of a career when you're in a roll cage. And I feel like Andrew saw that, you know, and, you know, racing snowcross or racing motocross is a young man's sport, you know what I mean? And it just is, you know, and you reach a certain age, you're just not competitive. I mean, we saw Levi LaValle. Levi is one of the greatest of all time. And Levi tapped out on the racing side, stayed on with the freestyle side, and now he's, you know, doing content, and he's a team owner and things like that. But, you know, he kind of evolved. You know, he goes, I can't compete with these young guys anymore. I just can't do it. So, you know, he started concentrating on freestyle and free ride and content. And, you know, and obviously he's got an amazing infrastructure there where they're bringing up young and upcoming snowcross athletes through their system, things like that. But he adapted, you know. And I feel like Carlson, same way, you know, there's a year or two, I think, where he was doing a little of both. And then he went full time into short course, you know, and they've got an amazing facility there at ERX, and he's totally dedicated to it. And he's becoming one of the best in the world at it, you know, but it was one of those where he saw that, you know, he had a shelf life in short course and, you know, and it was time to make a change. And, you know, and he's kept his career going. And I think to be a professional athlete, action sports, or a professional race car driver nowadays, you have to do that. You know, you got to keep pushing ahead, keep looking for new opportunities. You know, and Carlson family, you know, they own ERX or part owners in ERX, and they've got their race shop there, but they're doing events. I know Nitro Rallycross is coming there. They've got the ERX short course event. They've got a bunch of snow cross and snow bike stuff. They've got trade shows that are coming in there. You know, and they've really put a nice package together for partners and B2B, and they're the total package. You know, there's a few people that check all the boxes in motorsport, and Carlson's definitely doing that. You look at a guy, you know, we talk about Ken Block, you know, but he's got his hands in a bunch of different things. Travis Pastrana, things in a bunch of different things, you know. Cameron Steele on the desert racing side, hands in a bunch of different things, you know. Myself, you know, we've got this show. I've got race programs. I'm an agent. We've got a media company, TV shows, radio shows. I mean, it continues to evolve, and I think that's one of the key things. You know, you got to keep pushing forward, have your hands in a bunch of different cookie jars. And I got to tell you, man, Andrew Carlson, you know, Carlson Motorsports, they check all the boxes, and they do a phenomenal job at it, and stoked to see the successes he's had, especially with this new Razor platform. Man, they have put in the work, they put in the time, and they've proven that the Razor platform is, as far as short course goes, man, it is just as good, if not better, than anything else out there. You know, for the longest time, it was all Yamaha when you're talking short course. And man, Polaris and the Carlson camp and Robert Loire, they have completely stepped up. And let me tell you, they are bringing the heat in short course. And it's got everybody backpedaling at this point. Like, how do we catch these guys? Because Andrew, man, he is like a rocket. Obviously, short course racing this weekend, Dirt City, Lena, Wisconsin. You can get all the information on that. Championship Off-Road's website, live stream. They're doing it on YouTube, Facebook, all the good stuff. So you can watch those races Saturday and Sunday on the live stream if you're tuning in the show nationally. Yes, it could, you know, flip the dial, or I guess watch that as you're listening to this. I don't know, but that's going on. So yeah, good stuff. We got good stuff ahead. You know, this is hour number one. We still got hour number two to come, and let me tell you, hour number two, we got Pleasant Cook, aka 4x4 Barbie. We got my buddy Chris Leone. He's gonna be calling in live on site from the New England Forest Rally. So yeah, we got a lot more to come right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing, so why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Ah, well, good stuff with Andrew Carlson here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Wrapping up hour number one. We still got another hour yet to come, and we got a big hour yet to come. Hour number two, we've got my good friend, racer, automotive influencer, Pleasant Cook, coming up. And we've also got Chris Leone, who will be calling in from on-site at the New England Forest Rally. Really excited to hear what's going on there. We got Travis Pastrana, Ken Block, David Higgins, Brandon Simonick, all doing battle there in Maine, Newry, Maine, Sunday River Resort. Really looking forward to hearing what Chris has to say. So big stuff coming up. If you want to hit me up, you got any questions for our guests, wanting to know what's going on in New England, want me to answer any of your questions, I will have some time in hour number two. Hit me up. It's at JimBeaver15 on the social. social media machine, and we will get those answered in the show. Pretty much I can promise you that, I'm hoping. But yeah, hour number two, we will have some time for those. So yeah, it is. It has been a great hour number one. I'm getting news right now, and you know, from New England, the New England Forest Rally looks like after stage one, it was only a little over 5 miles long. But Barry McKenna is leading. Ken Block is in second. Brandon Siminick third. David Higgins fourth, and Travis Pastrana 14 seconds back in the fifth spot. So Concord Pond, one of the most exciting stages on the North American Stage Rally Circuit. You know, it's just got this, you know, one of the most iconic jumps in North American Rally. They run that twice. So going to turn around and they're going to do it all again. So I'm sure at some point this hour we will have updates in regards to that as well. And a whole lot more right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Don't go anywhere.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 6 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $2.99 each. Then get flavorful large avocados for 99 cents each, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story. For 100 years, General Tire has provided tires for your lifestyle, your adventure, your anywhere. Born from competition, the Grabber Tire offers the durability and off-road traction you demand in a tire. We put these tires to the test in the harshest off-road racing conditions to give you a tire that will make your anywhere possible. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us photos at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible. Because with General Tire, anywhere is possible. When looking for a new wheel for your off-road vehicle, car, truck, or UTV, the choice is easy. You choose what the pros use. Rob McCachran, Keegan Kincaid, and myself, Jim Beaver, all exclusively use Vision Wheel, whether we're dominating Baja, taking the cup at Crannon, or shredding UTVs. Vision Wheel's trend-setting designs and durability will set you apart from the competition and your friends. Check out visionwheel.com or at Vision Wheel on social media to learn more.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome to hour number two of the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Rock and rolling. Got a great show so far. Andrew Carlson in hour number one. We've been bringing you updates courtesy of Dirtfish Rally. Find out more information on the web at www.dirtfish.com. And use the coupon code JimBeaver15 for 15% discount at Dirtfish on those rally classes. Yes, our coverage of the New England Forest Rally been brought to you by Dirtfish. Obviously, they've got an extremely high amount of coverage. They're covering it in depth. So you're tuning in. You want up-to-date, up-to-minute info from the New England Forest Rally, go to dirtfish.com, and they've got it all locked, loaded, dialed in. As we said before we went to break, stage one is down. Stage two coming up. We've got leading is Barry McKenna, followed by Ken Block, followed by Brandon Simonick, David Higgins, and Travis Pastrana. That is your running order. That is your top five at the New England Forest Rally. We've got Pleasant Cook coming up. And then after Pleasant, we will have Chris Leone, my media director. He is on site at the New England Forest Rally, helping out David Higgins, taking photos, doing some social media. He will be on the show, giving us a report on everything that's happening here day one at NEFR. So, yeah, looking forward to Chris on that. Got questions for Chris. Got questions for me at JimBeaver15 on the social media machine. Probably Twitter be the best way to get a hold of us right now. But, yeah, we got that going on, man. We got a ton of stuff happening all across the board here on the show. Like I said, we're doing live coverage of that. We've got some big news to get into at some point. I don't know. We might be able to sneak it in. We might not here on the show today. But we have some big news coming out of the world of off-road. Ken Block, he is going to be running the Baja 1000. We've been seeing, like, the Hoonigan Media Machine just continually dropping content in regards to that. He's also coming up. He's racing Vegas to Reno here in 2 weeks. I will be in action in that race as well, but Ken Block racing Vegas to Reno, so kind of looking forward to seeing how he does in his first desert race. I think it's a really, really good idea for them to get him a tune-up race for the Baja 1000. Vegas to Reno is definitely a good one for that. I think with kind of the open fire roads, I think Ken will do really, really well there. I think he will in Baja as well. Definitely a great starting point compared to something like the Mint 400. But it is definitely been a fun show. Whole lot more to come. We are going to take a short commercial break, and then when we come back from that break, we're going to have Pleasant Cook, a.k.a. 4x4 Barbie. She's going to be lock loaded right here on the show, on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
I'm Polaris rider Jim Beaver. I race trophy trucks professionally, host the Down and Dirty Radio Show, and also travel the country announcing motorsports events. I've seen it all, and trust me, I've done most of it, so when it comes time to relax on the weekend, nothing is better than taking time with my family in our Razor vehicles. They've got the reliability I need to just pick up and go explore the desert dunes or trail, and have the capability to attack even the harshest terrain. If you're looking for some of the most reliable and safest, and hands down most capable off-road machines in the world, look no further than Polaris and their award-winning lineup of Razor vehicles. Whether you want your daughter to experience off-road driving for the first time in a Razor 170 like me, take the entire family out in a Razor XP4 1000 on the weekend, or shred the desert and dunes in the all-new Razor XP 1000 Fox Edition, Polaris has you handled. Take my advice and join me and some of the best drivers in the world by driving a Polaris Razor. Check out the full Polaris Razor lineup at Polaris.com or follow them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Polaris Razor. Your life demands a tire that provides durability, comfort, and performance, and that's what General Tire delivers for you. From the all-season grip of the Grabber UHP to the comfort and on-road manners of the Grabber HTS to the durability and off-road traction of the Grabber AT2, General has a tire that will help get you where you need to go. So let us take you on your next big adventure. Tweet us at General Tire, hashtag anywhere is possible, because with General Tire, anywhere is possible.
From the 2018 Master Distillers of the Year comes a bold new American whiskey in Fistful of Bourbon. Their whiskeys have been award-winning for generations. Now they're going all in on bourbon, blending five straight whiskeys to create a big, balanced bourbon that stands apart from everything else. So grab yourself a Fistful of Bourbon, a blend of five bourbons created with over 100 years of whiskey blending experience. It ain't just a bourbon, it's a damn fistful. Please enjoy responsibly.
Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
Life is all about sound. The sound of sports, the sound of the racetrack, and the sound of your vehicle. Don't drive around listening to this. Drive around listening to the sound of performance. Gibson Performance. Gibson Performance Exhaust is the company who can turn this into this. Remember that life is all about sound, and Gibson Exhaust is the sound of performance. Check out your next catback exhaust system, headers, muffler, or UTV exhaust at GibsonPerformance.com and get more power and more sound.
Like what you hear? Catch all the back episodes of the Down and Dirty Radio Show on Apple Podcast, and be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
I'd like to welcome one of my guests this week to the show, my good friend Pleasant Cook. I'm going to say formerly known as 4x4 Barbie, because I feel like you have completely morphed out of that, and you're just Pleasant Cook to me now. So, but welcome to the show, Pleasant.
Well, hey, y'all. Thanks for having me on here. Yeah, I definitely agree. I'm turning more into, I guess, like a UTV Barbie than anything at the moment.
UTV Barbie. Well, you know what, though? I think that's the key to this industry, though. Like, what do they say? Adapt or die, right? I feel like we all exactly. have to be morphing. I mean, I know what I was doing 10 years ago when I started this show, and I know what I'm doing now, and it's completely different. But I feel like if you're not consistently reinventing yourself or innovating what you're doing, I feel like you kind of get left behind, you know?
Oh, exactly. I always laugh because even, like, on Instagram now, I'm trying to make TikTok or Reel videos, and I have, like, no clue what I'm doing, and I'm like, just thinking to myself, yeah, exactly, after die at this point.
TikTok, yeah, that's one, I don't know. TikTok and Reel videos, it's kind of entertaining. I can go on TikTok and kind of lose myself in it, because there is some really creative stuff, and then there's some stuff I'm just like, look at yourself in the mirror. Did you realize you just did that? Like, and you're putting it out there for the world to see. Like, it's crazy.
Exactly. I always laugh at, like, the people that get caught making the videos, and they're more embarrassed they got caught making them, but yet they're putting them online for everybody to see it, and it's like, all right. Yeah. All right. I don't do any of the dances, though. I can't dance. I'm more trying to, like, video something funny or something, but...
Yeah, that's me. I, like, a lot of mine's, like, weird race car clips, stuff like that, you know, that I post, but, yeah, my TikTok's pretty lame. But I think, you know what's funny about TikTok is like, when I was growing up, like, you go to a school dance or something, right? Like, there was all the wallflowers. Everybody was scared to dance. Nobody wanted to dance. It was, like, a big deal, like, to get out on the dance floor to invite somebody to dance. And now, like, that generation, like, they're posting all these dance videos and stuff like that. I'm, like, online. I'm, like, you know, and obviously there were probably no school dances last year because of COVID. But I'm, like, do kids, like, now is that whole thing, have they shed the wallflower thing and everybody dances, or just dance on TikTok?
Yeah, no, like, I always left my little cousins. They always try to learn all the TikTok dances. So they're, like, sitting in, like, the Walmart parking lot, like, doing dances, like, walking through, like, the aisles and stuff. I'm like, you guys have a lot more confidence than I ever did growing up.
Right? And I don't know. Maybe that's a good thing about social media. We talk about all the downsides of social media, but maybe that's a good thing. Kids have been more confident. They come out of their shells. And I don't know if they're only that way on social media or if they actually do it in real life, you know? I don't know the answer
yeah.
to that.
Which either way, it really is pretty good for kids to grow that confidence that they have now.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know, and you know, the thing that I guess worries me is like, you and I are people. You know, we're a people person, or people. I don't know how we would say that when you're referring to two people, but you know, you and I go out, we meet people, we talk with people, we have conversations, and I think, like, this generation growing up now, like, they've spent so much time online, and they got no problem chatting online and texting and messaging and things like that, but I don't know that they know how to do what we do, where you're actually out at an event, shaking hands, meeting people, saying hi, having conversations in real life. Like, they know how to text, they know how to message, do they know how to talk, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, I guess learning to carry your personality from, like, online and person as well. It's like it's a whole nother, like, trait to learn, really, in this business. it's going to be interesting to see in the next couple of years to see how that progresses.
Yeah. How were you growing up versus now? And I know, like, you're still very young, but, you know, when did you really start coming into your own and kind of breaking out of your shell? Or were you, like, as a kid, were you always kind of outgoing?
I mean, I was always pretty talkative. Like, my mom used to say, like, I would make friends with everybody, anybody. Like, I did a lot of pageants and stuff growing up, and I'd make friends with, like, the other little girls. And pretty much talked to, literally everybody. I was always that kid, like, at church on Sunday, like, my grandma would bring little suckers and I would hand them out to all the little kids. Like, I was always just that outgoing person that wanted everybody to be my friend kind of thing. And I kind of lost that a little bit in middle school, but kind of gained it back with my confidence that I got from it. And then, yeah, I don't really know. I guess I've always just been a very talkative person. I mean, my nickname growing up was Motor Mouth. So that tells you anything.
Yeah, so you morphed from Motor Mouth to 4x4 Barbie to now you're just
exactly.
Pleasant Cook.
Yep.
I don't know that we wanted to put Motor Mouth out there because I'm sure at some point somebody's going to listen to this and that's going to come back to haunt you just a little bit.
Probably. It's okay, though.
It's all right.
I feel like there's a lot of things I've done in my life that can come back and haunt me. It's fine.
Yeah, I know you pretty well to know you don't really have many skeletons in your closet.
No, nothing too bad.
Especially
my TikTok videos. I mean.
Oh, so how's things been? I know it's been a while since I've had you on the show. I mean, it's actually been probably too long. You and I chat, text, you know, see each other at events quite a bit. I know we had the thing for a while where we were calling each other stalkers. We'd be like at the most random of random places and run into each other. But
yeah, they got Walmart.
Yeah,
Jim. Hey, Jim. I don't even live here. What are you doing? Neither do I.
But. Yeah, no, it was like, for the audience listening in, it was literally, there was a stretch for about a year and a half where Pleasant and I would literally be in the most bizarre places around the country and run into each other. And it was just like, wow, oh, hey, what's up, Pleasant? Like, so weird.
Every single time, too. Like, it did not matter what kind of event it was. At some event, we would see each other.
Yeah.
All right, hey.
So, you know, obviously, what's been going on? What's been going on, though? I mean, obviously, you know, people know you as 4x4 Barbie and things like that. I know you as a person, and I know how you've kind of morphed, and I'm really impressed with the trajectory your career has been on. And we'll talk about that. But, you know, what's been going on? Because you were doing the mini monster truck thing. You were doing a lot of the 4x4 shows, things like that. That's kind of how people got to know you and when you really started getting your following. But you really, truly have morphed into a real race car driver, driving UTVs. I know you're doing some desert racing, some short course racing, things like that. I mean, how have things been the last couple of years since we were really caught up on air, and how are you liking this kind of new direction your career's heading?
I mean, it's definitely been different since the last time since even the first time I talked to you, just thinking about how much that's changed too. I've definitely shifted my focus more towards racing and kind of getting out there and just having a lot of fun with that. It's definitely a different industry compared to the trucks and the lifted truck scene, which the truck scene is fun and all. But, I mean, getting out there and being able to race these people and just the adrenaline rush from it and, I mean, even the occasional rollover. And it's been a lot of fun. I mean, it's been a crazy, definitely just even this year after COVID with that canceling a lot of events, it left us open to really focus on racing and building the cars and getting things ready and stuff like that. And, I mean, like you said, desert racing, I just kind of threw that on our plate or threw that just building a car and kind of getting that thing ready for the rest of the season. It's been unreal. I don't even know how else to put it. Just, it makes me speechless of just how much and how far I have come from the last time.
Yeah. You know, and one thing that has impressed me about your kind of shift to, to UTV racing, stuff like that, a lot of people come in, both men and women, and they've got like this, I don't want to say a chip on their shoulder, but an arrogance, like, I'm going to come in, I'm going to dominate, I'm going to kick everybody's ass. Like,
yeah.
I'm going to be a badass. And you kind of came in very humble. You know, and you came in, you're like, hey, I know I've got a lot to learn. We're probably not going to be the fastest at the beginning, but you know what? I'm going to put in the work. I'm going to put in the effort and, you know, we're going to get better. And, you know, you've had, like, I think you had a wreck earlier this year and you kind of, you know, were making fun of yourself, you know, 4x4 crashy, I think you were calling yourself and things like that. But like, it shows a lot about you as a person. And this is just me as a friend talking. Because a lot of people wouldn't do that. You know what I mean? They do come in with that chip on their shoulder and an arrogance, and we're going to do this. And the way you've approached it, you know what I mean? A lot of people create enemies when they came in, and I feel like you've created friends coming in because you've approached it the right way and very humble and, hey, let's get better. And I see it, you know, from last year to this year, the growth and the quickness. And, you know, are you on the podium? No, not yet. But I see, you know what I mean, the difference in your driving and the lap times coming down and things like that. And I do see the direction you're headed. And, you know, I applaud you for that because I feel like you've approached it the right way.
Yeah, I mean, of course. I mean, you could go in and you could be like, I mean, one of my main focuses is I want to win. That's what I want to do. But, I mean, we're all said and done. I mean, it's the same. It's a race. I mean, we're all a huge community. We're all hanging out. We're all, I mean, even, I mean, I just can't believe how, like, well the community works together at these races as well. And I feel like that's not something talked about enough. I know that after I've wrecked several times in my career, I say it's my monster truck coming out of me a little bit. Whenever we do wreck and we do break parts, I mean, there's a whole bunch of people out there that's ready to help, that's at these races. Like, oh, hey, you need that Polaris, the A-arm? You need that, like, even random little parts. Like, you need this? I got it. Come on. I'll help you. Like, we'll fix you up. Like, everybody, even, like, the bigger teams, and you walk into, like, the big race trailer. It's like, oh, you need a press? Okay, here. Let me help you out real quick. Like, it's just such a nice community. And, I mean, I can't even imagine going into it thinking that I'm better than these people who are so nice and so willing to help and that's so kind. And I can never get over that.
And a whole lot more to come with Pleasant Cook when we return here to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
Conditions off the pavement are always changing. So why settle for a light bar that just turns on and off? The Rigid Adapt is a revolutionary new light bar that will automatically select from 8 beam patterns that range from a widespread 90-degree flood to a 15-degree spot based on your vehicle speed. Try that with your knockoff light bar. A dash-mounted controller allows the user to toggle between adaptive mode, beam patterns, and RGBW accent lighting. With Adapt, it's easier than ever to own the night.
Don't just shred your way through any off-road rugged terrain. Get into gear with GSP XTV and let us redefine your adventure. The GSP advantage of quality and performance sets a standard for UTV axles. We strive to provide premium ATV and UTV axles to keep you shreddy ready. Kick up some dirt and get in the driver's seat with GSP XTV. With over 35 years of experience, drive with a company you can trust. Drive with GSP. For more information, please visit us at gspxtv.com today.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online in syndication on networks across the U.S. and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
Welcome back to the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Jim Beaver here, along with my good friend Pleasant Cook, a.k.a. 4x4 Barbie. Have you ever felt like, and I've actually kind of seen this with you, and I fight the same thing. You know, you're very well known. I'm pretty well known, you know, and you come in and people have these preconceived notions, you know, and they meet you and they want to hate you. You know what I mean? Because, you know, you've got yeah. This celebrity status, whatever it is, you know, but then you come in and it's like they want to hate you. So they're very guarded and might be kind of short. And then they get to know you and they're like, oh, she's actually pretty awesome. I kind of like her. I mean, do you see that a lot? Because like you are one of the nicest people I've ever met, but I can see like, I've heard people behind the scenes, oh, that's 4x4 Barbie, and they'll talk trash. I'm like, do you really know her? Because she's actually awesome, you know? And then they're like, oh. And then they get to know you, and they're like, yeah, you were right. She's actually really cool. Like, do you feel like sometimes you have that, and it's like there's these preconceived notions about you?
Oh, yeah, of course. I mean, it's definitely it's sometimes harder to make friends, I guess, especially with, like, girls and stuff, just because, I mean, we're girls. We judge each other. We do all the time. But, you definitely can, like, walk into a room kind of deal and you can feel when people don't really like you. So I always try to make it a notion to try and talk to everybody and to kind of just be the, I don't know, just let my personality shine, I guess. Because, I mean, I've definitely, even through, like, Instagram, I've had haters and trolls and stuff and then actually became friends with them after on in life and then be like, oh, yeah, no, I used to think that you were this person and that you were this type of way, but you're actually really nice and really cool. So I think that, I feel like they're just, I don't know. It's part of life nowadays.
Yeah, I think it is. And, And like we talked about the good of social media earlier in the interview, and now this is kind of talking about the bad of social media and how people kind of judge just about everything you do, and it's all under a microscope. But, you know, going back to the racing, I mean, how are things going? Obviously, you're running, you've been doing short course now for a couple of years, and I feel like you're kind of picking it up. You talked about doing the desert racing stuff. I mean, you know, I give you a lot of credit. You've been putting in some practice and some lap time, things like that, some laps. And, how's things going? How are you feeling about, the upcoming races?
I'm pretty excited. Definitely pretty pumped for Bark River for the short course racing. We didn't get to that course last year, and it's probably one of my favorite courses. It's really fast and just fun. And I'm very excited to get out there and go on that one. So it's pretty good. I just added Speedworks to my roster of help and sponsors and stuff, and they're kind of helping me get like my clutching and stuff going with the Razor. So, I mean, it's been a lot of fun. It's been busy, and we're just trying to make power. And it's like Andrew Carlson's little boy when he was on the stage, like, more power, baby. So that's what we're kind of – that's our motto right now, I guess.
More power, baby. I know you were talking about the desert racing stuff. Obviously, I'm sure you got a new car being built for that. I mean, how are you going to approach that? It's something totally different. I mean, that's completely different. I know you've been around the Mint 400, things like that. But, how are you going to approach the whole desert program? Because that's a different animal than short course.
I mean, honestly, I'm just kind of going in with the mindset that we're here to have fun. I mean, it's a very long trail ride. It's what I keep telling myself. We're just kind of going to go out there and kind of video, like, we want to do like some kind of vlogging style videos with the all hanging out and having all the like the pit party kind of deal, and just kind of really just focusing in on the fun and the adventure of this desert racing. I mean, I'm building a Pro XP right now. It's gonna be all pinked out. It's gonna be very girly. I'm excited to kind of have that to kind of show who I really am, through this car and. Just to kind of, I don't know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm really excited for it.
Yeah, well, I'm excited, too, to have you out in the desert. I know anything I can do, definitely hit me up. I think it's going to be a fun adventure. I call desert racing kind of adventure racing, and obviously, obviously it's fast and things like that, but it's, to me, there's a story in every race. When you start doing 400 or 500 miles, exactly. Like there's so much of a story from the time you start to the time you get to the finish line. And I could tell a lot of people, I'm like, sometimes winning isn't necessarily winning. It's just getting to the finish line of a desert race.
And that's what, I remember racing with Bold Racing a couple years ago, and we had some troubles and stuff like that. And I remember sitting there in the middle of the desert, broke down. They're like, I'm really sorry this happened. I'm like, what are you talking about? This is so much fun. Like, this is what you talk about. You don't talk about, we had a flawless race. Like, everything went perfect and we finished this place. No, it's, oh my gosh, we wrecked this, and this. But it was hilarious because we were sitting out here and this happened. Like, I feel like it adds to the story. You're right. It adds to the story of the race. Anything that happened.
Yeah. So I know you're getting ready to, watch a watercross race here, but I, that leads me to another thing. I mean, obviously, you've been in the dirt most of your life. I know you've toyed around with some other stuff, but, any interest in other power sports, jumping onto a snow bike or a snowmobile, doing something like that, or you're pretty happy with the dirt?
I mean, I do like the dirt. I like my traction. I like my roll cage, but I have definitely been getting out there snowmobiling and stuff more. And these past winters, just kind of going out west with my boyfriend and stuff. And, I mean, it's a lot of fun. It's definitely different. It's a different lifestyle. But I'm learning it. I'm figuring it out. Maybe you might see me on a snowmobile later on this winter. Maybe not racing just yet. I still got to get the balance part down and the turning. But it's definitely been a lot of fun.
Yeah. Here's the question. We talked about kind of, when you first got your start and you were doing a lot of monster truck shows and four-wheel drive jamborees, things like that. And obviously you're not doing as many of them as you did before, but it's part of you missed that, like getting out the jamborees. I'm sure you've got a ton of friends in that, in that arena there and, in the builds and the craziness of, these trucks and stuff like that. Do you miss that? Do you look forward to getting back to those?
It's weird because, like we always talk about my age being so young into this industry, I almost feel like I'm old in the truck industry because there's new people coming through and, I don't get to see as many of my friends as I used to because they'll be getting out of it or something. They'll be new kids. But I definitely miss, like, the monster truck shows, the community of all the monster truck drivers, my friends that drive. And I felt terrible for them this last year with COVID, with a lot of monster truck shows being shut down and stuff. And just not being able to see any of them, it's definitely been different.
Yeah. You have any crazy truck builds in the back of your head? Because I know, like, obviously you've kind of become known for some of your truck builds, things like that. You have any crazy builds in the back of your head that you really at some point want to pull the trigger, start getting some partners together, and really go over the top with another one?
Oh, always. I have, like, thousands of builds in my head on the daily. I wanted to build, I know last year, a couple years ago when I built my Ford, the camel pink, the candy one. In the beginning, my idea was to do it like a lowrider style, but lifted, and like kind of like the cool pinstriping, the bright colors, all of that. And I still would really love to do that at some point in my life. But right now, I'm going to have some new wheels coming on my truck pretty soon. That's going to be pretty exciting, or new vision wheels, I should say, new colors, stuff like that. And I'm kind of excited to where my little truck right now, where that build is going. So.
Yeah. So what else, what's the rest of this year look like for you, Pleasant? Obviously, we got, you know, you talked about a couple of events. We got Bark River, we got Crandon coming up, some UTV races. What else is the rest of 2021 look like, and any exciting plans for 2022?
2022, haven't got there yet, but I know we're going to do some of the desert races. We're going to try to do UTV World Champs and Mint 400, stuff like that. Pretty excited. I think we're going to try some of those new legacy races. That looks like a lot of fun. So we're trying to figure out what we're going to do for SEMA, stuff like that. But just pretty much going to have fun. It's got a busy schedule this next couple months. So you're seeing a lot of content coming from me.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Like, I was looking at my schedule, and I'm like, I'm pretty much on the road starting here in about the start of August. Like, I think there's one or two weekends I have off for like 3 or 4 months. it's crazy. And
yeah.
Some of these weekends, there's like 3 events on one weekend, and I'm having to decide which event to go to. Like, I feel like now that COVID's kind of come over, or, you know, and events are back, I'm like, people like us, like, it's going to be a crazy whirlwind, like, fall. I think it's just, I'm looking at this going, man, this is crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah. No, I was looking the other day, and I had one weekend free, and it was 2 weekends ago. And then from then to like November, I'm booked every single weekend. And yeah, like you said, the hardest part is trying to figure out which event to go through when you have like 2 or 3 on the same weekend. It's like, how do you decipher through?
Yeah. And they're all good events. And that's what I'm looking at going, holy crap. Like, I don't know what my bed's going to look like, you know, definitely going to have cobwebs
exactly.
And dust on the pillow or something. Like, it's going to be wild. So yeah, all about that airport life the next couple of months. That's for sure.
I'm all about that windshield life, apparently.
Oh, the windshield life? Oh.
Windshield life.
Yeah. So you drive most of the places, you don't get on too many flights?
If I'm bringing, like, my car and stuff out, a lot of times I'll just drive and then pull trailer, stuff like that. Some of the events I'm on flights to, I think, like, some of the off-road expos up in, like, Pomona and Scottsdale in the next few months I get to fly to. But other than that, I think I'm driving pretty much everywhere.
Oh man, well, I'm racking up frequent flyer miles. You're putting miles on the speedo, so I'm sure we're going to see each other at quite a few of them coming up, but then definitely looking forward to it. Pleasant.
Of course. Yeah, I'll see you probably next week or something. Yeah,
for sure. Talk to you soon. Always fun catching up with Pleasant Cook, a young woman in the industry that's definitely doing big things. And, you know, always fun to have her on the show. But we are going to take a short break. We come back. It's going to be Chris Leone calling in from the New England Forest Rally right here on the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Whether you're looking for a tire that balances high performance responsiveness and traction in wet and light snow conditions, excellent handling and traction in wet and dry conditions, or a summer performance tire design with a driving enthusiast in mind, General Tire has you covered. From the all-new G-Max RS to the Grabber ATX, no matter what you drive, General Tire will get you where you're going. Learn more at GeneralTire.com. General Tire, cruising with the Down and Dirty Radio Show since 2012. Looking to have some fun on four wheels? Dirtfish Rally School has you covered. Packing as much adrenaline and adventure as you can handle into high-performance all-wheel drive and rear-wheel drive Subaru rally cars is where the fun begins at Dirtfish. Just 30 minutes outside of
Seattle and Snoqualmie, you'll get a chance to train up to 3 full days with some of the country's best instructors and be put through the high-octane rush of rally on mud, dirt, and tarmac. Get started today and call 425-888-7715 or visit us online at dirtfish.com and use code 911 for a 15% discount.
You're listening to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. All killer and no filler.
Welcome back to the Gentle Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. And, man, we've got one coming live from the New England Forest Rally. Chris Leone, my media director, standing by at Sunday River Resort. We got at least one stage in the books. I think we'll probably, as we do this interview, we might be getting reports of stage two, Chris. But, you know, the big story is David Higgins is back. And this is probably one of the biggest North America, or one of the biggest U.S. rallies, I would say, in probably the last 4 or 5 years. Wouldn't you say, Chris?
For sure, Jim. And, you know, the first thing, though, that I've got to say about this event is that I can't talk to anybody here without having just an engine or a vacuum or whatever. I had to pack up my media just to make sure that you could hear me because they were vacuuming the lodge. And then I get on Discord to talk to you, and immediately I've got some guy with a giant pickup just revving his engine behind me. So we're having a real fun time out here. but yeah, no, it's a huge entry for NEFR this year. We've got, I think, about 85 cars. You've got all the big names, you know, not only, obviously, the Subaru squad with Pastrana and Seminook and Ken Block running and Barry McKenna running, but yes, the return, the long-awaited return of David Higgins to American Stage Rally, to an event that he's won multiple times over the years, and technically speaking, I believe was the defending winner of, because there was no 2020 New England Forest Rally. So, yep, we're here. They're out doing the second pass at Concord Pond right now. So it's going to be really exciting to see what those times shake out to be.
Yeah, you know, and that's what's funny you mentioned that, you know, about David's return. And obviously when Ken Block returned earlier this year, it was a big deal. Travis has become kind of a staple in the championship, so he's kind of expected. But, you know, and obviously I will just, you know, I let the disclaimer earlier in the show when I was talking about some stuff that, you know, we represent David. So he's been a close friend of ours for a long time. Our company represents him. But, you know, that being said, like the fan feedback, you know, we say returns, legend returns. Everybody's excited about David. It's only been a year and a half since he's rallied. And last year we can kind of say it didn't even really count because of COVID and everything else. So I'm like, it is funny, the fan reception online and from what I understand on site there about David. And I think, you know, what I've learned from this experience, Chris, is what he actually means to North American Stage Rally, you know, because I feel like, I mean, people see him and they just associate it with this championship.
Exactly. And so when I was talking to David earlier this morning, he was kind of joking around like, oh, I thought I was going to get a little more backlash, but it hasn't been that way. It's been pretty universally positive. It's a lot more important that David is here and that he's running than what he's running in. And that's kind of what everybody has shown over the past week, ever since the announcement finally came out on Tuesday afternoon, early evening. So it's one of those things where it's really exciting for the sport. And now you've got as many heavy hitters as you've had at one time, you know, and we've cycled through a lot of them, right? In American Stage Rally, we've had people like Lestage and we've had people like ACP. And, you know, it's one of those things where you usually have 4 or 5 bona fide threats to podium any given year, at least any given good year. And now we're stepping back into that range, you know, having DH back with McKenna Motorsport. Obviously, Barry's still got the Fiesta that he's brought over for this year, and David stepped into one of the different vehicles that they have. But yeah, I mean, there are a lot of really fast cars. There are a lot of pieces of kit that when, you know, the last time that I was certainly at a stage rally, and it's been quite some time, you know, we didn't have anywhere near this amount of depth in terms of the vehicles. And being able to put, you know, for David to be able to step back into a car that is worthy
of his pedigree and his caliber, you know, it just adds one more vehicle that is going to contend for the overall this weekend. It looked like McKenna took the first stage with Ken in second, and then, you know, David and Travis were kind of resuming some of the fights that they've had when they were teammates on that first stage, and I think David was just a tiny bit faster first time around, so it's going to be really interesting to see how it shapes up over the weekend. Obviously, Concord Pond is such an interesting stage with so many jumps, so many crests. David called it a little bit of Finland in the United States, yeah. And he's certainly not wrong.
Yeah, and it's funny. I was explaining Concord Pond stage earlier in the show, and that's actually a very good analogy there, a little bit of Finland, and because it's got, you know, the most iconic jump in, you know, in at least U.S. stage rally. I don't want to say North American rally because I'm not super familiar with some of the stages up in Canada. But I would say Concord Pond absolutely has the most iconic jump in U.S. stage rally, you know, and, you know, obviously everybody knows about Finland and, you know, and you see those just amazing WRC shots and stuff like that. So, you know, talking about New England Forest Rally, it's kind of interesting, Chris, because I know, you know, officially this rally's been around for 30 years as of this year. And there's, you know, it's become kind of, you know, the marquee event. It's the Baja 1000. It's the Daytona 500, the Indy 500 of U.S. stage rally. The NEFR has kind of become that it one where everybody brings out their big guns, their cars. People come back for this one. You know, a couple years ago, we saw M Sport send over a two-wheel drive Fiesta, and also I think it was an R5 or something at the time. But I feel like, you know, it's funny, and I don't know how it became kind of the iconic U.S. stage rally, because on the other side of the country, you got Olympus that was actually a WRC round at one point. And I feel like this is, you know, this has become the iconic event where you would think it would be Olympus. It's actually NEFR.
Well, see, Jim, I'm certainly not complaining, because even though I had to wake up at 4:30 in the morning to do it, I'm able to drive to this one and back. So that never hurts, right? But yeah, it's one of those things where the drivers really seem to love the stages. They really get excited about, you know, what New England has to offer. We've had rain in the forecast. We had a little bit of it during shakedown yesterday. I mean, it's been very rainy here in New England the entire month of July as it is. So that variable, you know, can be a lot of fun for a lot of people as well. You know, I don't know. It's sometimes you just have an event that, and this is in any, you know, form of racing, that just kind of organically can grow into something really exciting and really special and really popular, you know, and it's not always the events that you would expect. I mean, personally, for me, even though this is the one that I grew up going to, you know, when I still think US, like you said, Olympus is the first one that I'll think of, and then I'll think of 100 Acre. And then even, you know, LSPR, I'd probably still put on par with New England as well, and not to knock my home region, but you know, yeah. It's just, it's really interesting to see how this rally has shaped up. But had a great crowd of people for Park Expo earlier this morning. Everybody was just kind of mobbing around. There were so many people excited to see David, so many people excited to see Ken and Travis. You know, we've had some really cool vehicles on display here. Things were jumping before everybody started kind of rolling out. Now we're just waiting for first service and for everybody to roll back in.
Yeah, it's kind of an odd schedule with New England. Like, you know, day one is you know, they've got the ceremonial start. They got Park Expo, and then guys go out and what? I think they do Concord Pond twice, which is like 5.5 miles, give or take a few tenths. But it's like 5.5 miles, and then they turn around and they're done for the day. It's like they go and do two stages and then they're done. And then tomorrow is the big day. I mean, it's game on tomorrow. There's a lot of stages crammed into one day, but it's like, it's almost like they could have took some of the day two stages, put them in day one, but this year just, you know, it's kind of an odd schedule. So, you know, I guess it gives the teams a lot of time to regroup going into the big day, which is tomorrow, Saturday.
Yeah, we do still have a little bit more to go. You know, later in the afternoon, there are a couple more stages in there where one goes in both directions. And I guess they've added even another brand new stage that splits the two of them. So you're not turning around right away and immediately going in reverse on the same roads. But nonetheless, yeah, there's about twice as much action tomorrow as there is today. It's a much earlier day tomorrow.
it's a much longer and more grueling day tomorrow. And yeah, I mean, you know, in some ways today is just kind of a shakedown, you know, that happens to be timed. And happens to count for something. So, you know, you'll have a lot of fans really excited about Concord Pond, and I'm sure we'll see some, you know, pretty spectacular photography from that. But really, yeah, Saturday is the heart of this rally. Saturday is the meat of this rally. So, you know, who wins or loses is likely not going to be decided today. I don't think anybody's going to take a lead in the stages that they run today that they're just able to carry on through tomorrow without at least a little bit of a threat. But, you know, and especially with these drivers and especially how closely matched everybody is and how talented everybody is. But then again, I mean, like any version of point-to-point racing, really, you know, there are so many variables. You just really never know.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the thing about New England Forest Rally. Day two is so grueling. Day one, you know, you're not going to win the rally on day one, but you definitely can lose it. I know we saw that a couple years ago with Ramana. You know, he had that R5, and Natalie Richard was co-driving. And, you know, day one, stage one, Concord Pond, he cut a little too much and clipped a rock and, you know, damaged the front wheel. He finished the stage. They got it back to, you know, to service, and they were able to fix it. But, you know, he lost so much time on stage one that, you know, he was just kind of running for a finish at that point. And, you know, and that's case in point. I feel like New England Forest Rally survived day one and be within touch of the leader, and then day two, then you drop the hammer.
Yeah, pretty much. And it's going to be interesting to see how that works out. Going back to David, obviously this is a car that, compared to the Subarus that he's run for years and years and years, does not have a lot of experience in. So that's going to be a big adjustment. It's just such a different vehicle. Obviously, you know, the size is different, the you know, the engine, everything about that car is completely different. And he doesn't have the level of experience in that car compared to the Subaru. Obviously, somebody who's won that many championships has plenty of experience and you can trust to adapt to anything. But still, you know, day one, you're probably going to see a patient David Higgins. You're probably going to see him tap into that veteran experience and not overdo it in any way, especially on Concord Pond, and just kind of take that, you know, just take it stage by stage, mile by mile, and then put himself in a position where on Saturday, you know, all right, these are the money stages. This is when it's time to really start rolling and take the fight to Travis and Ken and, you know, and Brandon and even Barry.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the key with David. He's one of the smartest drivers I've ever met. And David, he's not into blowing people out. You know, he's one of those, you win a rally by a second or you win it by 10 minutes, you're still winning. And so David's only going to drive as much as he has to do to win the rally, you know, and we've seen that where he holds it back and he holds it back where he's winning stages, but he's still not driving 100%. And then when somebody starts pushing him, he finds that next gear and just drops a hammer, and everybody will be like, where did he go? They're like, we were, you know, within a second of each other the previous stage, and this one he won by 15. You know, and David's just that guy where he is a very smart player, and he's never going to play all his cards until you know, the rally's over. You never quite know what you're up against. And I think, like you said, I think he's feeling it out. You hate to say blowing the rust off, but, you know, there's probably a little bit of that. Obviously, he had the leg injury, you know, that he had to come through. So he was out of even a street car for a long time. And I feel like David's finding his groove. And I think day two tomorrow, it's really, really going to get interesting.
Yeah, and again, that's really what's fascinating about this. It's somebody just doing it with a completely different uniform, a completely different you know, set of wheels beneath them. It's I'm trying to think of what's really the best kind of comparison, you know, to just different forms of racing. But when you've seen somebody work with one team that long and be at the top of the mountain with that one team for that long, anytime you're seeing them in different colors, you know, with different people around them, it's always really interesting to see how those new combinations get on. So that's really what we're going to be following a lot of this weekend.
All right, Chris, I know we could talk all day, but you are on site at New England Forest Rally. I know you got to get back to things, and we're up against a time break, but appreciate it, buddy. And we are going to take a short commercial break. We'll be back to wrap up the show after this, right here on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor.
You want extreme performance, reliability, and the most fun you can have on four wheels? The Polaris Razor brings it to you. But you don't need to take my word for it. You can take theirs.
I'm Tanner Faust, and I choose the Polaris Razor because it's the most fun you can have with a steering wheel.
What's up? I'm Ronnie Renner, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the sickest, most reliable side-by-side on the planet.
What's up, everybody? Heavy D from Diesel Brothers. Listen, I'm on Team Razor because it's hands down the best piece of machinery on the planet.
I'm RJ Anderson, and I choose Polaris Razor because it's the most fun, most capable machine.
Action sports stars, TV personalities, and some of the best race car drivers in the world all choose Polaris Razor because it's the ultimate combination of power, suspension, agility, and fun. Find out more information on the web at PolarisRazor.com or follow at Polaris Razor on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and use the hashtag RazorLife to share your story.
Thanks for tuning in to the Down and Dirty Radio Show, available live online, in syndication on networks across the U.S., and available internationally on the American Forces Network.
All right, and we're back here to wrap things up on the General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show, powered by Polaris Razor. Just want to thank all of you for tuning in, whether you're tuning in on Sports Byline, Sirius XM, Podcast One, Down and Dirty Show website, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, you know, the U.S. American Forces Network. Absolutely love you guys. Thank you. Thank you for everything that you guys do to continue to support the show. Once again, I'm at JimBeaver15 on social media. And please subscribe to us over on Apple Podcasts if you haven't already. Got another show, Project Action, that airs there as well. Big thanks to all of our amazing partners in the show. Obviously, General Tire and Vision Wheel, Polaris Razor. We got Fistful of Bourbon. We've got our good friends at Dirtfish, you know, Rigid Industries, GSP XTV Axles, iRacing. We've got so many amazing partners that help make this thing happen and keep us in business, you know, after 10 years. So thank you guys for the continued support of the show. Like I said before, I'm going to be headed up to Sturgis. So hit me up. You know, we'll be there with Fistful of Bourbon. If you're going to be on site next week, I would love to chat with you, love to meet you, and love to have a little bit of whiskey with you. You know, be a good time there at Sturgis. And yeah, don't forget, JimBeaver15. That'll get you 15% off all classes at Dirtfish. Dirtfish.com is the website. And yeah, go and get in on that. And with that, I'm going to sign off for this week. And we will see you guys next time right here with another General Tire Down and Dirty Radio Show powered by Polaris Razor. Have a great week and an even better weekend.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.